All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. Mr. Miles wasn't feeling good today, so you're stuck with me again. So, sorry about that. All right, pull out your chapter 13 notes, once you guys have done. Page 31. Do we have it?
I know.
Does anyone have it? Oh, good. Okay. That's it. I looked around and most people are like, I don't have it. So, okay. Well, for those who have chapter 13, if you don't, if you're near someone who does, you can look with them. But we're going to talk today about burnout with ministry, something that I'm sure you guys have heard multiple times about already. But just a little bit more with this. But this is not just for ministry, guys. This is, excuse me, this is while here as well. We see a lot of people burn out while at school. I think there's probably some in here already that are probably feeling that way. We've got a week left of school. Okay, we're kind of done. But, so let's go ahead and we'll do the six symptoms of burnout. Someone give me the first one. Okay, so what do we mean by that? What do you think?
It becomes something you don't really want to do, and it just takes a lot of effort that you don't want to do.
Okay. Yeah.
You become like crazy to the point where you're like, oh, I have to do this.
Yeah, that passion goes away, exactly. Anybody else? The question I've been asking my Bible study group, guys that I've been mentoring, is why did you come here? What was your attitude at the beginning of the semester? What is it now? Because I think at some point, you know, we start to lose that focus of why we came. It's I'm going to go to classes to get the grade because that's what I have to do to continue on. Most of you that are in here are probably going to plan on graduating because maybe you want to go into full-time ministry, but maybe you just want to come for that 3 years. So are you coming to these classes going, I'm just here to graduate, to get that grade? Or is it to actually learn, to actually get something from this? Because, like I said, this is one of the classes I use a whole lot of while being a youth pastor. But all those classes, theology, homiletics, some of you are like, yeah, I'm not planning on preaching. Okay, you still might be asked to do it, and we have to put that effort in. Don't just let it become, oh, this is what I have to do. And there's a lot of people that do that in ministry, and what happens to that ministry? It suffers, right? People see it too. We notice that. Being a youth student, right, in youth group, when a leader's not into it, what makes the youth people want to be into it? We can see, the teachers can see in classes who's active, who's involved, and who's just filling a seat. Right? So, second one.
I'm unable to focus on the big picture.
Okay. It just kind of becomes a part of life. You show up, you do the routine, you do it, and we forget the big picture of why we're here. What God has called us to. And like I said, I think this is not just for ministry. It's for life in general. But it is. It's for your classes, your time here. You can make it the best or the worst time. It's up to you. We can't change your attitude. If your attitude is that, oh, this is gonna suck. This is terrible. Probably will. But if you take it going, man, I want to learn, I want to take this opportunity to learn from these teachers, get this wisdom, that's really going to help. Third one.
We experience phone phobia.
Okay, what is phone phobia?
The fear of getting up and speaking.
Okay.
I'm scared of answering your phone.
Scared of answering your phone? Why?
You don't want to deal with anything.
You don't want to deal with anything. What are maybe some things you're maybe afraid to have to deal with?
IRS.
No. Guy keeps calling me about my car insurance and my car warranty. No. What are some things that maybe you're worried about for ministry?
That one person
that always calls. You'll most likely have that one person. All right. Yeah, absolutely. But what are some other reasons?
Criticism.
It's real easy to tell others what they're doing wrong. And I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys have heard this before, but I remember while being here, they always talked about, you know, those people who were all for you at the beginning of your ministry, and then they're not really. I found that to be true. The people who were like, all on board, oh, we're so glad you're here, and then one little thing didn't go their way, and it changed. And so anytime it's like, oh, great, it's Dale again, right? Don't want to answer my phone. What else?
Kind of just like the fear of like situations. Like, you know, you could have, an example is like you have a kid who's suicidal calling you, you know, like, and having to deal with that is such a hard.
Yeah. I kind of shared before about the first 4 years of the 5 years I was in South Dakota, every year on homecoming week, I got a phone call. And it was for a student, rather that had just graduated or was attending there, or the school they played football with had passed away. And that was, I remember my last year being there. I prayed every day, Lord, please, please let there not be no phone call. I mean, even the kids that fifth year were like, we don't want homecoming. Like, the last 4 years of homecoming have been terrible. But what do we have to do? We still have to answer our phones. We still have to talk to those people. You're going to have maybe a youth student or someone who's going to need you more than others. Right? And we talk about with the RAs as well, and with any ministry, but you have to find that boundary. Because there's some that are going to try to suck the life out of you. And they're not meaning to, but they need you constantly. And sometimes, right, there has to be we have to be able to say, hey, I can't right now, depending on the situation. But we also have to be able to say, okay, yeah, I need to still answer this. They obviously need me. I need to talk. And that's, so there is that. Next one. Okay. How can that burn us out?
I know for me, and this has happened here before, but mainly at home, working a lot of jobs, I just don't care about people, I just care about the past. I'm just trying to accomplish that so I can move on to the next thing, because I know that there's constantly something else coming towards me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mainly at home, because over the summer, I worked 3 jobs. And so I knew that there's always another job to do as soon as I got one done.
Yeah.
So I just didn't care about people, I just cared about.
Yeah. I did what I'm supposed to. You hired me to do this. You hired me to be the children's director. I do my thing on Sunday. What more do you want from me? But I think the other thing with burnout too, guys, is that sometimes with burnout, we think that, oh, it's we get burnt out, we decide we're going to quit. It can be we get burnt out and we get asked to leave. Because we're not doing our job. We're not the one doing what we're supposed to. And so burnout doesn't just mean that we give up and we quit, but it can mean that the church is also going, hey, like, we hired you to do this and you're not doing this. The teams don't feel like they can connect with you. We just feel like it's time to move on. And so I think for me, like I said, I always thought of burnout. I always thought it was a one way. You know, I can't burn out because I can't just quit. But it's we can give a real bad testimony, and that not only affects you, but it can affect the school, and it has affected the school. People going to a school or going to school here, going to a church that has never had a Frontier grad. And all of a sudden you kind of do whatever you want. And we've had churches say, we don't want another Frontier grad. It didn't work out. We have a very good reputation, but there is that as well. Next one. We feel uptight. Yeah, we just kind of always somewhat go together, and just our attitude changes. And when you're uptight, you don't want to deal with people. The best people to be around are the people who are fun, friendly, outgoing, wanting to talk to you, but also willing to be serious. And if they're uptight and you're like, man, you talk to a teacher and they don't seem to be having a good day, for me it was, yeah, I'm going to come back another time because I don't want to deal with that. Or you feel like, as the youth, you feel like, oh man, I'm just a nuisance. He says he cares about me. She says she cares about me, but I don't feel that. I feel like I'm a problem. And the last one for number one. Okay. I think we'll all feel that at some point, whether at school, at a job, or in a ministry. There's times where you're like, I'm just done. I don't know what else to do, and that's where it's nice to have those accountability partners, those people that you go to, those for a husband and a wife. Those people are crucial, and it's crucial to be there for each other. But again, I'm gonna say this and probably beat it in your head just more than everybody else does. But finding that accountability partner, finding that person you can talk to, you can be open and honest, and they can be open and honest with you. They can call you out when you need to be called out, and they're gonna be there in those tough times. Having at least one, but if not multiple, that you can do that with, because there are going to be times where you're gonna just be like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I shared earlier in the semester about my senior year. I applied. I looked at churches from August until April. And beginning of April, it was like, I mean, I've been candidated. I looked at these churches and just door after door was closing. I'm like, I did. I gave up. I walked into Mr. Bagley's office and I told him, I said, I'm going to graduate and I'm going to move back to Colorado and I'm just going to work at a sporting goods store. I had a job lined up. And Mr. Bagley said, he goes, why are you giving up? And I said, because God doesn't want me in ministry. I quit. And it took Mr. Bagley, Mr. Miles, and Mr. Hughesby to all just sit there and pray with me and say, Andrew, you're not giving it to God. You're trying to do this on your own, and that needs to change. And they called me out on it, and I needed it. And I kid you not, like 2 weeks later, I got a phone call of the church that I ended up going to. Satan wants us to quit. He wants us to just walk away. Because that not only affects you, that can affect your family, but if you're in a ministry, that affects that ministry. That affects those kids. Whether they're 6 years old or they're 18. Satan, that, like I said, that is his biggest thing, is if I can get to the pastor, the youth leader, camp director, that's gonna affect a whole lot more people. Right? I've shared about my youth pastor, and when he left, and that church, our church had 50-some in our youth group, it was growing, it was great. And within a year and a half of him leaving, there was no youth group. And it really hurt that church. It hurt that community. And so there's going to be those times where you are going to be like, I can't do this. I can't. I need to walk away. Getting that biblical counseling, that wisdom from men and women older than you, it might be time to step away. But if we just go off of our emotions, we're going to make a lot of really bad decisions. My wife is someone who is a very good encourager, but she's also one that she knows that sometimes she has to be really blunt and just say, you know what, Andrew, like, you have to get over yourself. It's not fun to hear, but it's something that we need to hear at times. And like I said, burnout is so, so common. I read in a book, oh, it was probably a couple years ago, but 65%, and it might have changed by now, but at that point it was 65% of people who go into full-time ministry will not retire in full-time ministry. So many people start in ministry and rather get burnt out, something happens, and they don't retire there. Out of the classmates I graduated with, I can tell you at least five that are no longer in ministry, and three of them are no longer walking with the Lord. We sit here and think, that's not going to be me. That's not going to happen, but what are you doing about it? Okay, so we have give seven causes and solutions to burnout. What's the first cause?
Overcommitment.
How many of you feel like you've overcommitted at least once in your life? How many feel like you're overcommitted right now with maybe school and everything else? Okay, yeah. There's a lot going on. You guys have a lot. There's homework, there's school, a lot of you work. Okay? That's a good cause for burnout. You just get tired of it. So what is the solution?
Say no.
Say no. Have you count the cost before taking on anything new. You're going to get asked to do things, right? Oh, time and time again. Whether you're in full-time ministry or you just show back up. Oh, hey, you went to Frontier. We'd love to use you. We'd love to do this. Figure out what it's going to cost you, what it's going to do. It's okay to say no sometimes. When I first got here, it was like my second week here. We were talking and, I'm trying to learn and trying to keep up with Mr. Hughesby, which is crazy enough, as you know. And so, and Mr. Miles, right before school started, goes, hey, how would you like to speak for Spiritual Life Emphasis Week? And at first I'm like, oh, that would be really cool. That'd be fun. And then I'm going, I'm still trying to learn what I'm supposed to do. And my wife was like, yeah, I don't think you should do that. And I had to say no. And it was really hard to say no, but at the same time, I'm really glad I did, because that made that week way less crazy, less strange. So it's okay to say no. But make sure you're involved in things. Somebody asks you to do something. Okay, do I have the time for it? Do I have the energy? I tried to speak at 2 to 3 camps this summer. And I had a camp call me. And I was already speaking at 2, and I had a third camp call me. And I had already spoken at 1, and so I went to my elder board. Can I do this? What do you think? And they did. They asked the question, how do you feel right now? Well, I feel pretty good. We have a mission trip coming up, but I'm doing okay. Okay, and they did. They just said, do you think you can do it? And I had to be honest. Yeah, I think I can. Was able to do it. The next year, I did the same two camps. Got asked to do a third one. And nope, I can't. It's okay. It's okay to say no, because when we get overcommitted, things start to lose, right? They start to lose their, I don't know the word I'm looking for, their passion. Start to lose their passion, right? And the last thing that needs to be lost is why you're there. If you're at a church, you're doing things, those other things, speaking at camps, those are great. But don't let your church suffer because of those other things. Okay? Second one. Lack of clearly defined goals. We've talked about this a lot. You know, getting somewhere, having defined goals, what you want to accomplish, what your plans are, right? And letting the church know, making sure the church is on board. But if you don't have those defined goals, what happens? You're just going through the motions. You're right. You're like, I gotta do youth group. I gotta do children's church. I gotta do this today. But there's no goal with it. Where am I wanting to take these group of students? Am I wanting them to, this is where I want them to grow. And sound doctrine. I want them to be able to grow in being confident and sharing their faith. Whatever that goal is, if we don't have one, we're just kind of going through it and showing up and, I guess tonight, we'll just kind of do a game night tonight. And then the next week, I guess we'll talk about this. And they see that too. They see that, okay, what are we doing? It's good to have a plan. It says, number three, failure to gain personal refreshment. What does that mean? Not taking breaks.
Specifically, I think that has to do with, like, staying so much time you're working on the same kind of job.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to spend time with God, you want to spend time with your family. Right? As you guys will have families going on, and that does affect them. And finding that balance of, I've got to do this, I've got to, you know, I got to be there for these events and stuff, but also taking that time with the family. It's a terrible feeling to have your kids say to you, Dad, when do we get to see you? When your four-year-old son asks you when he gets to see you, it hurts. And it was something that's like, okay, like I need to take time. And the church will give it to you. The place is usually, if you go to them and you say, I need this time. I need to just step away for a week or a couple days. Or on your days off, you have a Saturday off. Doing something with your family. Doing something to get away. To just step out for a second. Are good things. Definitely something you need to remember. If it's going for a hike or taking a day just to say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything. Like, I just literally just need to, I'm going to stay home. Great. But if we're not taking that time for ourselves, but especially what Carlin said, if we're not taking our walk with God seriously for ourselves, if we're just studying for the next test we take, if we're just studying for the memory verse we have to do, if we're not actually letting it impact our lives, we're not trying to grow with our walk, that's really going to hurt us. The series that our Bible study is we're finishing up is the Not a Fan. Are you a follower or are you a fan of God? Okay, there's a big difference. And I've said many times, just because you're at Bible school does not mean you're a follower of God. Just because you're here and you're wanting to learn, and maybe you are learning things, it doesn't mean, but if it's not changing your heart, if it's not changing your lifestyle, we need to sit back and ask, what am I doing? Why am I here? One of the questions we asked last night in our Bible study is, what emotion, what feeling do you have right now with your relationship with God? Frustration, joy, anger, excitement. And then we asked the question, if you treated your significant other the same way you treated God in that relationship, how would that look? Because I could tell you right now, there'd be a whole lot more divorces if people treated their spouse the way they treat God. I'll go to you when I need you. Or I'm doing it because that's what I'm supposed to do. Spouses see that. They know if you're committed or not. God sees it. He knows your heart. And so sometimes it's saying, I have to take that step back. I have to take a few days. We're going to get away. We're going to spend family time. Great. There's so many, for when you get married, there's so many retreats. A Weekend to Remember, Love and Respect as one. They're great. What was really cool about the church I was at is they would pay for one of those every year. And they'd give us up to 3 conferences a year to go to because they said, we know the burnout. We know you need time. And sometimes it's going and have someone else fill in your cup. The weekend retreat was so great for Marissa and I. It was just this time where we could focus on our marriage, on our walk together, and it really convicted me to say, I've got to be a better leader to her. I read my Bible, I do what I'm supposed to, I do that, but my relationship with her and pointing her to Christ was not good. So make sure you take that time. You guys are going to have 6 weeks. Right? Christmas break. That's the time to make or break. How are you going to spend those 6 weeks? Is your relationship with God going to continue? Or are we going to put them on the back burner? Next one. Attempting to be
something we are, something we're not.
Thank you. Yeah, that was hard. All right. Attempting to be something we are not. What are we talking about here?
I would say just pretending to be able to do bigger and better things. Or not be yourself. Try to be someone else. Because you need to be able to fit all the qualifications of that.
Yeah.
Instead of just being truthful and honest about who you are.
Yeah. Knowing your strengths and your weaknesses. And knowing that, okay, this is my strength, this is a weakness, and it's great to try things, but knowing who we are, comparing ourselves. If you go to a church and there was a youth pastor already there, or a pastor there, or a camp director there, and you're going to hear lots of things about, oh, this is how they did it, this is how they did it. And there's going to be things that's like, okay, yeah, I should probably take this and keep it. You're not going to go into a new place and just say, all right, I'm here to change everything. That's not going to go well right away. Okay, it has to take time. It takes patience. But trying to be someone we're not, okay, if some of you might go back to your home church or to a church that you were involved with and you knew the last person there and, man, they really liked this person. He was such a good youth pastor. He was such a good camp counselor, and oh, I want to be just like him. You're not. You're you, and it can come off way worse. It says, accept your gifts and your weaknesses. Okay, accept those. Accept your gifts and your weaknesses. If you know what your weaknesses are, you're going to find those people around you to say, this is where I need help. Okay, I need this. This is where your leaders that come alongside you, this is where you find people who are going to help strengthen that ministry. Probably for guys, some guys, not all guys, for me, organization. Not my forte. Okay? So it was really nice on missions trips to have my wife, but also another leader who were like, okay, let's figure this out, and let's organize it. Let's have everything scheduled out. Here's what we're doing this day. What's the plan? Because parents ask that. What's going on this day? What is this? Do not give the students, though, the itinerary for the day. Bad idea. Because they're going to sit there and go, Mr. Elliot, it is 11:15. We were supposed to be over there, and we're over here still. It's okay. Okay? Don't worry about it. But they will. They're going to have people who are very time-oriented people, or who are like, It says it starts at noon. It better start at noon. Okay. I grew up that way too, right? Things happen. And if you have students especially, they are going to bug you with that the entire time. Leaders can have it. You have to be a little flexible. But that was one thing for me. What is maybe a strength that you have, or you think that people have? Okay, we have teachers, right? Some people are great. They are called to be a teacher or a preacher. We have others who are not. That's not their gifting, okay? And a lot of them know that. But what do? A lot of times those are the people who are behind the scenes. Those are the people who are helping with the sound booth, scraping the sidewalks, whatever their gifting is. We have one guy, his name was Butch Helzer. The guy was the greatest greeter I've ever met. That's the reason when we left, when our church split and we left, that is the reason we started attending that church. We went to a couple churches, they all were biblically sound, things were good. But that guy stood out to my family. He was the nicest guy. He made you feel appreciated. He made it just getting to know you. And afterwards he came and talked to us. And every week he made sure to do that. That's a gift. You need those people. You need those people in youth group and children's church that are fun, outgoing, that kids or whatever ministry that are going to go to them. We need the people who are those silent servers that are going to be behind the scenes, never take credit for anything they do. Okay? I mean, none of you guys are really here in the summer. Mr. Hughesby is no less busy in the summer than he is now. The dude is out there mowing lawns. He is taking care of all the sprinklers. He is always going. He's a servant. He's someone that, like I said, you don't see a lot. We have a lot of these maintenance guys that are behind the scenes every day. And people show up to our facilities and what do they say? You guys have some of the nicest facilities. Okay, when we had some close friends of ours come here, they were terrified for us to come out here because you hear missionary, middle of nowhere, and they think, man, it's just going to be this awful place. They're like, this place is beautiful. They said, like, the lawns are well taken care of, better than most places around. That is a service. And I think that's what we should be maybe thanking our maintenance crew for a little bit more. Peter does a whole lot behind the scenes. Okay, Mr. Reichert, he's up front. But last year when things went, when you guys had to go to online, he was the main reason for that. We know, and so we have to work together, right? So, knowing your weaknesses, knowing your gifts. Next one, poor advanced planning. It is good to have a plan. What is the theme for maybe the year? What is the series you're doing? How long is the series? Okay, after that, what am I going to do next? Not just, okay, let's see, next week I think I'll do this. Having an advanced plan. It says, learn to think 1 month in advance. At least have 1 month ready to go. I really liked to have a theme for every year. That was kind of our main theme, but then we would kind of go off of that. And for the entire year, we kind of knew, okay, this is kind of the theme, but this is where we go. The school does this, right? Having a plan, being able to plan leaders, for the most part, at least a few weeks out to speak. Hey, I'm going to be gone. Some can do it in a week, some can do it in a few hours. But it's better and it's going to give them more time to really pray and think about what God wants them to teach about if they have more time. And when we don't, right, the poor advanced plan, and we don't, it just doesn't run together. The students see that. Next one, activity oriented, not achievement oriented. We are so focused on the activities. We forget why we're here, what we're doing. What is the achievement you want for those students? Not just for that year. You want to start there. What do I want them to get from this message? How can they apply this message to their lives? How can they apply it to their lives this week, this year? Where do I want to see them in 3 years? Okay, these are things we have to think about. Becoming a pressure person, not a priority person. What do we mean by that? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that is definitely one way. Is you have a parent or even your board. This is what we want. This is what we want to see. You need to be teaching this because this is what my kid needs. Okay, like absolutely, that's something to consider, but we have to be about the priorities, the things that are important. One of the probably the main topics that every youth pastor, camp counselor, that everyone always ends up talking about, and kids want to talk about is drinking, sex before marriage, relationships, right? That is something that everyone wants to hit. But sometimes we want to keep pushing that because that one kid's still not learning. What are the priorities? What do you want them to learn? What's another way? I've got a pressure person, not a priority. Yeah.
So the idea is not so much what's the content of what you're really talking about, but it's more just like I have the deadline.
Yeah, you're more worried about the deadline than absolutely. The other thing I thought is numbers. Pressure for numbers. You're going to get that. That's going to be the question you're going to hear from your boards, from people in your church. Oh, how many are coming to youth group now? How many were in your children's church? How many were at camp this year? Numbers, if it's not changing their lives, those numbers don't matter. I'd rather have 10 that want to learn and that are growing than to have 50 that are just there to have fun. I want the 50 to be there. I want them to, you know, to hear things and maybe they'll catch on. But if it came down to there's 10, when they left, they all were like solid leaving. That's what we want. We want those kids when they go to middle school, go to high school, go to college, whenever they leave, that they have that firm foundation. But you're gonna get pressure. You're gonna get people in your church on those boards saying, well, how come camp was down this year? How come we lost so many numbers? Why is it different? Instead of asking the question of, what growth did we see? What lives were changed? Other ones. Cause for burnout, losing a proper focus. Why we're here? I asked that earlier. Why did you come? Why did you come to school here? Was it to learn, to grow in your walk? Okay, reading applications. A lot of people said, I want to deepen my relationship with Christ. You're a year and a half in now. Is your walk deepened? Is that relationship stronger? Or are we just going through the motions? Okay, ministry is for the glory of God. Other causes for burnout. Discouragement. There's going to be times you're going to be discouraged. When I was a student here, I remember talking to a married student. And I remember him saying this, and I use the same illustration for ministry. But I asked him, I said, man, how's married life? I was just engaged, and I was like, how's married life going? And I remember he looked at me, he goes, Andrew, I'm not going to lie. He goes, it sucks sometimes, but I wouldn't change it. And I'm like, not what I expected there, but okay. Like, and ministry's the same way. Guys, ministry's going to suck at times. It's not going to be fun. But if we're in it for the right reasons, if we're in it for God, and God is still controlling our lives, then we're going to make it through. But so many of us think, I'm so ready to get out of school. I'm so ready just to jump in. Yeah, it's great. But while you're here, take that time to really take all the wisdom you're getting, all the knowledge. But also know that when you're out there and you are discouraged, know that this school will be praying. And you can call any of those faculty and staff. And they do. Every Wednesday when we meet, if a alumni calls and needs prayer, that's one of the first things we make sure to do, is to pray for them. Teachers, we want to stay connected. Discouragement's going to happen. But it's those people around you. Last night, my wife shared about how when we're really struggling, stop holding it to ourselves. Okay, you can't just keep it to yourself. You can't just think, oh, I'm going to make it through it. We need people to rally around us. We are called to rally around one another, right? When we came out here and we visited, and right after we accepted the position, I remember sitting with Mr. Miles and Mr. Bagley, and they said, can we pray for you guys? And my wife broke down and she goes, I am terrified. She goes, I know God will provide, but she goes, I am scared to step out and do this. I know this is what God wants, but that doesn't mean that doesn't scare me. And to see those men wrap up, come around and pray for us, but then the next day come up and hand my wife a bookmark with a bunch of verses about fear and how to trust. And he said, Marissa, I just thought of you and I want you to have that. And then to have both those men call monthly and ask me, how are you guys doing? But then to say, how is Marissa doing? How can I pray for her? That's what we need. Your sections, the group you're with, your RA, a teacher here, someone. When you're discouraged, when you're having a hard time, don't think I have to just do this by myself. Share it. Mr. Huseby and I have said, and Mrs. Lauper, we've all said that if there is something you are struggling with and you want to talk to us, it stays there. It doesn't go past that. If you want to work, if you want to change, we want to help. Keep your eyes on Him, but lean on each other. Another cause of burnout, discouraged because of lack of fruit. Okay, like I said, the numbers is going to keep coming up. Numbers are important, right? That's what everyone says about numbers. If you have one kid showing up, invest in that kid. Continue to be out there. Continue to do it. God is responsible for this. Okay, it says, be faithful and remember your call. Last one I have here is inconsistent devotion life is a cause for burnout. If you're just doing your homework and you're just doing your memory verses because that's what we're supposed to do for a grade, okay, that's not a consistent devotion life. Make sure we're having that too. Make sure you're spending that time with God. Not just, I'm reading my Bible for class, so that's great. No. Same way when you're in ministry. Well, I'm teaching this lesson, I'm doing this, so this is what, no. Still continue with that personal devotion life. Take the time to read His Word. to talk with him. Some of my favorite times and best times to talk to God was when I'd have to travel to Colorado from South Dakota by myself. 9 hours. There's not a lot of radio stations in the middle of Nebraska and South Dakota. At least good ones. A lot of country stations. But I'm not a big country guy, so it is. It's just turning off and talking with God. The other thing I'll never forget is my pastor always saying, sometimes we have to shut up and listen as well. Sometimes it's not just saying, God, this is what I need, God, this is what I want, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it's just like, okay, God, what do you want from me? My wife shared last night in our devotion about how, one of the books she's reading, it talked about how every day before she gets out of bed, she asks God, okay, God, what do you want from me today? How can I serve you today? It's going to be different for each and every one of us. Someone look up 1 John 1:9. Or if someone can quote it, go for it. Okay. That devotion life, it does affect us. I can tell you a lot of times when I start to have a bad attitude or I just seem to get frustrated, it's a lot of times because I'm not spending that time I need with God. It's a sin issue a lot of times. It's something that I know that I need to be dealing with and I'm not. God is faithful and just to forgive. But we have to give it to him. What are you holding on to? What's hindering that relationship? Whatever it is, know that God is ready to forgive. He's already forgiven you. And he's there to love you. And there's people here, there's people wherever you're at that are there to be there with you. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity Lord, just continue to learn more. Lord, we just pray for all the people in ministry right now and for all of us in here that we would not get burnt out. Lord, I pray for those who are feeling burnt out right now and just that are maybe trying to make it this last week. Lord, I pray that you would help them to just finish strong. Lord, that we would just continue to have that personal walk with you. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to, when we leave for Christmas break, just to continue to have that desire to be a true follower of you. Lord, I just pray for the rest of our weekend. I just pray for those who are not feeling well. We think of Mr. Miles and Mr. Bagley and so many others. We just pray you'd be with them. Lord, we just pray for protection for the school and for our break. And I just pray that you'd be with us the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.